I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
He was an NBA legend.
Sometimes you get into that. I understand that a little bit, but here it's not about those things. It's about winning.
This is a special edition of KSL's Unrivaled, the life of Coach Jerry Sloan. Here's Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, thanks for being with us on a special edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Obviously, the passing of Jerry Sloan at age 78. Early this morning, the news hit, and then it's been a long day of running everything down and trying to figure out. I mean, while we had known, of course, that the coach was not feeling well for quite some time, and this was not a shock to anybody, it was still one of those moments where we step back and say, what made this man so amazing, and who are the people that surrounded him? What did they say about him, about how great Coach Sloan was? And Ben Anderson, our host of Jazz Notes, and of course KSLSports.com Jazz Insider, joins me on the program. And Ben, you know, no better person I think on our staff to be able to give kind of a detailed account of Coach Sloan's accomplishments. But first reaction, I mean, again, not a surprise to anybody that the coach was sick and was, that his passing was imminent in the next little while, but still a shock and still one of those things. What are the things that you are going to always remember Coach Sloan for?
I guess I remember personally, or what struck me most about kind of getting to know him just a little tiny bit as I got into this business and he was still around the team, though he had retired, was his humility was just like, it was striking. Because I grew up watching him here in Utah, and he was, you know, furrowed brow and tough and getting in fights with Dennis Rodman and Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace. And that was cool. He had this tough guy persona, and that was so cool. And then even better was when you actually get to kind of know who he was, or you saw him walking around the arena, was he wasn't that way all the time. He had an ability to turn that on and off, and that painted such a full picture of who Jerry Sloan was. And I think that's so much better than just kind of the one-stroke person
sure.
who can only do one thing and is that way all the time. Seeing that Jerry was a family man, had
sure.
kids, had real relationships, had a real life, I thought that was so cool.
Well, on top of all of it, I think there's the lore of like being just a, like, aw shucks farmer who collected a bunch of tractors, you know, and everybody looked at the things that he did during the offseason and went, well, I guess to each their own. We all have our own hobbies. And he was unabashedly, unapologetically this unique character in our sports history in the state of Utah. One of the things that you know, today I was looking at things, I was watching how other fan groups kind of reacted to things, and the respect level for Coach Sloan is always there. Everybody knows how amazing he was for this game, and I think Jalen Rose said it on ESPN today, where it was like, look, Utah gets overlooked in a lot of things for, you know, the reasons that small market teams get overlooked, but you cannot deny that this guy's not probably one of the best, is one of the best coaches of all time. And I think that all of the greats respect that, and they already know that.
No question about it. And yeah, overlooked, I guess, in the sense that he never won a Coach of the Year award. But,
he belongs on the list of the top 10, if not top 5 coaches of all time when it comes to the NBA. He's number 4 in wins. He's one of only 2 coaches, I believe, and was the first coach ever to win 1,000 games with one franchise as a head coach. He's just a legend in every sense of the word. And beyond his accomplishments, his spirit that he brought to the team, and that still very much exists with this Jazz culture. I mean, we know Frank Layden, who's still alive and mm-hmm. is jovial and funny and curious and kind of always had that with the Jazz. But Sloan's methodical approach and that lunch pail attitude and that DNA that he had still defines the Jazz. I mean, it's still what makes this franchise so good, is that spirit that he injected into the franchise that it so desperately needed. It was so strong that it couldn't leave when Jerry Sloan left. And that's the lasting impact that, I mean, there's not 5 coaches in the league that will have that with their careers anywhere. I mean, it's so rare to find that.
He said exactly what he meant in interviews, things like that. And I remember my first gig in radio, where I was actually working at a station, was at a sports radio station here in the market. I was an intern. I had to go to stuff and just hold a mic. And you've been there, you know, where it's like, I'm just the guy kind of learning how to figure it out. And I remember just being like, I got to get in the same room just so I can like feel that whole thing. And Jerry scared the heck out of media guys. But at the same time, he gave the straightforward answers that we're always looking for.
Yeah, it's so funny because, again, like you said, he was so intimidating to go and talk to. And then there wasn't anyone who ever, I think, would honestly tell you they butted heads with him, at least as far as, you know, the media did, which now it's kind of this cliche of coaches to be hard on the media.
And right.
Greg Popovich has made an art out of doing it. And Quinn Snyder, the good Jazz coach now, apologizes several times before the season or after the season, saying, hey, I know I was hard on you guys, or I know you're just doing your job. Sloan didn't really do that. You just don't have a lot of examples about Sloan beating somebody down, including going to this video in The Last Dance that showed on Sunday of Sloan winning 50, you know, or losing a game, and the Jazz only scored 54 points, and he was joking, as, you know, is this the final box score? He had a sense of it all. He,
right.
he understood that there was more to life than basketball, even in those toughest moments.
Ben Anderson, he's our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. You can read his bylines there. We have got a mountain of content on KSLSports.com that you can check out of the coach and what he means to this community, of course. And when you talk about our colleagues on TV as well, who have just been absolutely working their editing fingers to the bone to get all the great Jerry stuff, you know, and we were talking about ideas of things we could talk about. And I you know, and everybody's like, oh, his greatest wins, his greatest, times where he got upset at players and things like that. I was like, we got to string together the best ejections that he's had. I mean, this guy has got to be he's like the Lou Piniella of getting tossed out of these games, because he made an art out of not just letting the referees know that he was unhappy, but you're going to have to almost carry me out of this arena. And that's what I love about the guy, because it was like he felt like he was the sixth man. Like, I'm ready to go. I can check in right now if I didn't have this suit on.
Yeah, he never left that fire. I mean, that certainly never got away from him. And you're right, he's the NBA's all-time leader in technical fouls. You knew it was coming, and still there was a weird respect. I mean, he never felt like, you know, Dennis Rodman, who would pick up so many technical fouls,
right.
or Rasheed Wallace, who would get all these technical fouls as players. Sloan got so many as a coach, and still it never felt like he was out of control. Now, certainly, you know, when he bumped the referee, he would go back and say, hey, that's too far, I shouldn't have done that, and he's apologized for those things. But it never felt like it wasn't a lack of respect. It was always in the name of fairness. It was never a sideshow. It was never about Jerry. It was about the team, and it was about the game and competitiveness. And so it felt real. It felt very true when Jerry Sloan would pick up those fouls or get tossed out of games.
Outside of the state of Utah, a lot of people remember, well, you know, the ending that Jerry Sloan had with the team was Darren Williams running him off. And I wanted to give you a chance to explain that was not the case, according to D. Will and according to Coach, because certainly over his career, I think Darren Williams might have been the least of his concerns when it came to attitudes. It was time for Coach to leave when he did.
Yeah, you know, and Sloan has always said this. He said, I will wake up one morning and I will know that I'm done. You know, and he said, and he'll walk away from the game. And he actually has a history of doing that throughout his entire career, not just in basketball, but with everything he did. So you remember, you mentioned it already, he had this huge collection of tractors in McLeansboro, where he would go home in the off season and work on his tractors just to kind of get his mind right, get his mind straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he retired, he just got rid of the tractor.
Right.
It wasn't this romantic approach that I think we wanted to assign to Jerry Sloan, that, oh, he was still the farmer. No, he just moved on to the next thing, and he was capable of doing that. And the reason I think we fight that is because so few of us are capable of doing that. We do hold on to this nostalgia or romanticize things in life that Jerry just said, no, it's just a part of it, and then you move on, and you grow, and you keep going forward, and that's truly blue-collar. You know, he wasn't longing for anything. He wasn't mad that Darren Williams wasn't John Stockton. He just realized, hey, this isn't who I am anymore. I don't want to have these fights anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I'm going to retire. You weren't going to push Jerry out. You weren't going to, you know, it's ignorant to think that any one player could have ended Jerry Sloan's career. That Jerry Sloan wouldn't, by that point of, you know, 1,000 wins, 15 years of making the playoffs consecutively, 20-plus seasons coaching a team, that he would have said, oh, I don't know how to do this anymore. It's not like that's possible. You know, he was too good at what he did. At one point, he just realized he was done, and he moved on.
I feel bad for all these other franchises who are never going to have and never had a Jerry Sloan that they can immortalize in the rafters of their arenas and have guide them to 20 years straight of the playoffs. So, Ben, thanks for weighing in. Thanks for giving us some perspective on a tough day for Jazz fans who have already looked at it as a tough summer and a tough week. And certainly I think it's at least a time to celebrate. Bittersweet with the coach leaving. I know that it's a lot better situation for their family who was dealing with his Parkinson's and the complications there. So, Ben, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Taking the break, we'll come back. We've got more to go, all featuring Coach Jerry Sloan and memories from former players. You don't want to miss this special hour of KSL's Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio. All right.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.